You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Good morning. It's good to be with you again. It's always good to be in cold upstate New York. Hallelujah. I just got back from Brazil. That was 30 degrees or 90 Fahrenheit. Roughly, a little bit more than that. And I landed in the airport on Tuesday morning. We flew all night, landed in the airport Tuesday morning, and then we flew from there to Winkler, Manitoba, which was minus 26 degrees. So that prepared me for here. I'm so honored to be with you guys. Thank you, Pastor Greg and Jess for having me. Jess is one of my favorite people. I love Jessica. I don't run like Jessica does, but she's one of my favorites. I like her personality, and I just love that she's pursuing God, and she's a busy lady. I thought I was busy. Jess is a busy lady. She does a lot, so I bless those guys. My wife would have been here this weekend, but she had eye surgery while she was in Brazil, and so she's recouping from that. And she just sends her love and says she's coming next year when we're coming. So I want to just share something with you that I felt like the Lord just kind of impressed on my heart as we were worshiping. And it's this thought that God wants to put a fresh anointing on your lives. I can encourage myself. It's all good. I can say amen, hallelujah. But I believe God wants to put a fresh anointing on you. And I believe that God is moving in the earth today. He's doing amazing things. And I believe God's heart is for every believer, listen, every believer to experience his power and the power that transforms our hearts, that transforms our lives, that transforms our family. God wants to put a fresh anointing on your life. Come on, do you believe that this morning? That God wants to actually invade you with his spirit in such a way that you're changed and transformed, that you're marked by the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you, listen, God is moving in the earth, and he wants to move in upstate New York. He wants to touch our lives in such a way that it becomes so demonstrable that people go, what is going on in that person's life? And so I want to just share this thought. Would you revive us, O Lord, again? Because we need revival. How many know we need revival? And I want to say this, I don't know where we are in this process, but I can tell you what I feel in my spirit and what I'm experiencing as I travel the world. This year, I'm going to 62 churches. By the end, like next week is my last church, I'm going to 62 churches this year. And I have experienced in almost every church a sense of God moving. God is enlarging his church, and he's moving in the earth. Last year in our ministry, we kind of take the month of January off, and we get out of the cold, and we go to Florida. It's not always warm in Florida, but it's warmer than Canada. And so really 11 months, just maybe not even 11 months of ministry, we saw 405 salvations last year in our ministry. That's awesome. But this year already we've seen 710 salvations. And every church, I'm not kidding you, every church we go to, we're seeing salvations in the name of the Lord. Amen? Come on, that should excite us. That should put a, like Jess said just a minute ago, that should put a hunger and a cry in our heart. Oh, God, do it here. God, would you do miracles here? I'm telling you, I know people right now that are literally saved, baptized, Holy Spirit filled because God gave them a dream when they weren't saved. We have a lady in Taiwan. She, the first time I met her, I prophesied over her and her husband. They weren't saved and, just ministered to them. The lady was just sobbing. She was crying her eyes out, ugly tears, right? Like, ah! And so they kind of leave. And I don't see them for maybe a couple of years. And they invited my wife and I back to their offices. And so we go to their offices and I say to her, her name's Renee. I said, Renee, like the last time I was with you, I ministered prophetically to you and you were crying. I said, what was happening? Oh, she goes, oh, I was just in such a terrible place. And she said, I've listened to that word 30 times. I was like, that's a little excessive, right? Like 30 times. But she said, I've listened to that word 30 times. And I said, what happens every time you listen to that? She goes, I don't know. I just feel like I'm being healed. I said, well, that's what God's word does, right? It heals people. She goes, Pastor Gary, she said, I had a dream. And it was in three parts. And as soon as she said that, Holy Spirit spoke to me. Just this thought, past, present, and future. And she goes, I have spent thousands of dollars, my husband and I, going to counselors and psychologists to try to figure this dream out, and we can't figure it out. Can you tell me? I was like, I don't know if I can tell you. And I said, well, tell me the first part. She tells me the first part, and I felt like the Lord said this had to do with her and her mom, and these people are very wealthy, but her mom passed away. And I said, you're feeling regret, and you're feeling shame because all of your wealth, you couldn't help your mom. She goes, that's right. She starts crying. I said, tell me the second part. And she said, this is the second part. I said, this is your husband and his father, and they're having problems. They keep going around a mountain, and they need to deal with their stuff. And she goes, that's right. That's very true. Well, at that moment, her husband and daughter had come back into the room. They were in a meeting. And so we greeted one another. And he said, I said, hey, Vincent, your wife has had this dream. He goes, man, we spent thousands and thousands of dollars trying to figure this out. I said, well, listen to the second part. This has to do with you and your dad. And you've got a lot of issues, and you're not dealing with the issues. And all of a sudden, he starts laughing. He goes, that's right. That's right. And then I start prophesying about his business. And then his daughter looks at me. She goes, who are you? I said, I'm Gary from Hamilton. That's who I am. I'm just Gary from Hamilton. I said, I'm not a fortune teller, but God gives me thoughts. And she goes, everything you just said to my dad, we've been discussing in the meeting that we just had for the last hour and a half. In fact, you've just given us solutions to some of the problems that we were talking about. I was like, well, I didn't. God did. So they had to leave. And so I said to Renee, you didn't tell me the third part. I said, let me tell you what God told me. The first part was your past. The second part is your present. And the third part has to do with your future. She goes, Pastor Gary, she says, I'm a Buddhist, and I like being a Buddhist. I said, hey, I'm not here to try to change you. I said, I'm just here to tell you what God told me. And what God told me is this has to do with your future. She goes, no, but you don't understand. I like being a Buddhist. I said, hey, it's okay. And now I always work with a pastor. So Ian was there, my pastor friend. I said, look, Pastor Ian's here. He can help you figure that out. I said, listen, do you not want to know what God's saying about your future? She goes, Pastor Gary, it was only three words. And I said, well, that has to do with your future. I said, listen, you don't have to tell me. She goes, no, I want to tell you, but I like being a Buddhist. I said, hey, it's okay. You can... Like, I'm not here to try to change it. That's not my role. I said, my role is to tell you what God said. And God said, this is your future. She goes, Pastor Gary, it's three words. And the three words were, become a Christian. I said, do you want to become a Christian? She goes, no, I'm a Buddhist. I like being a Buddhist. I said, well, can I pray for you? She goes, yeah. I said, Jesus, give her more dreams. Just give her more dreams, God. Because you love her. And then we prayed, and off we go. Well, this was like 2019, maybe early 2020 before the pandemic hit. And in February of 2021, what I didn't know was her husband was a backslidden Christian. Her father and mother-in-law were Christians. They went to another friend's church. And most of Renee's friends were Christian. And so after our meeting, she got into a small group. She began to be discipled. And in February of 2021, she gave her heart to Jesus. She got water baptized. And I got to see her last year. We had dinner together, and she was completely transformed. Come on. Listen, let me define for you what I think is revival, okay? Revival is a divine visitation of God's presence that brings about spiritual worship. Would you say spiritual worship? Okay, now would you say like you mean it? Spiritual worship. Okay, spiritual worship and renewal. Like all of a sudden things become new. When you're not just coming to church and doing what is normal, all of a sudden that spiritual worship begins to renew you. It begins to transform your thinking. All of a sudden, it's not just songs that we sing. It's actually becoming life to you. It's renewing you. That's part of visitation and revival. And then watch this. Nonconformity to the world. In other words, actually, we're changing our lives. The gospel, God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, we're not conforming to the world. Come on, say amen, right? And then watch this. Deep repentance. Now, what does that mean, deep repentance? Well, can I just give you my definition? It means changing your thinking. Really, that's what it is. A deep change of thought where actually I'm letting God reshape my thinking, moving my thoughts towards His thoughts. His thoughts are higher. Come on, that's what the Bible says, right? His ways are higher. But it doesn't mean they're inaccessible. It just means you and I have to renew our minds. Listen, I'm believing, and I want to prophesy this to you. This season, as we walk into Christmas, and as we come into 2025, I believe we're in revival. And I believe God wants to bring revival to every home in this region. Come on, can I hear an amen to that? Like, that's what I believe. And because I'm seeing it in other parts of the world, I'm seeing God move in mighty ways. And God wants to do this. Watch, it's also a renewed zeal for God's will. Lord, what is your will? What's your purpose? What do you want me to do? That's what revival is all about. Revival is where we become more like Jesus. Come on, say more like Jesus. Turn to someone and say, be more like Jesus. Right? Revival is where we become more like Jesus. We live like Jesus. Come on. And we love like Jesus. We just love like Jesus. We're not, like, I'm not, like, with Renee, and I deal with this all the time with people, I'm not there to change them. That's not my role. That's the Holy Spirit's role. My role is to reveal God to them, share God's heart. Come on, be like Jesus. Amen? And so it's not just, listen, revival is not just an emotional excitement, but a profound transformation that aligns us with God's will and purpose. Now, let me give you a definition, just like the word revive. It means this. It's a primitive root. It means to live. Come on, how many want to live? It means to make alive. That's what revival means. It means to give the promise of life, to nourish up. Like, not just to nourish, but to nourish up. That actually, when I get around somebody, I want to see them nourished up. I want revival to come where everybody is being lifted up. Come on, do you want to be lifted up this morning, church? And so the God of the Scriptures, watch this, always starts with personal revival. Personal revival always comes before corporate revival. David said it this way, right? He said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David had gone through a period of sin in his life, and he comes to this place where the prophet confronts him. And one of the things about David, I love about David, is whenever you see David confronted, he never blames God. He just goes and says, against you, Lord. Lord, have I sinned? I remember Dick Iverson saying this, that the key of David was that David always responded the right way in every time God was dealing with him. And that was the key of David. And so I love this scripture where it says, create in me a pure heart. One commentator said it this way, do for me, this is what David was thinking, do for me what I can't do for myself. God, would you create in me a pure heart? I can't do it, but you can do it. God, you can bring purity to my heart. And so revival always starts with a surrendered life. Church, I want to encourage you, let's surrender today. Let's surrender our thoughts. You know, personal revival often precedes corporate revival. It begins with a personal encounter and transformation. So how can we foster revival? How can we foster revival in our spirit? Listen to this scripture. You've known this scripture because I'm sure pastors preached on it, but 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, how many are called by his name? Brats. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, humility is such a
needed quality in this day and age, to walk humbly before the Lord. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's humility. It's saying, God, I can't do it, but you can. And your ways are better than my ways. And so a humble person acknowledges that without God, they can do nothing. Church, I want to say this to you. I believe America is about to have a revival. I believe North America is about to have a revival. In fact, I think you're in revival. I think we're in revival. I just don't know where. Like, I think it's kind of like this beginning of a momentum that's happening. And I see it in Canada. Like, I go to really good churches in Canada, and I would say almost every church, but I can only think of one church that's not really experiencing like breakthrough that they need to. But almost every church in Canada that I go to is experiencing momentum in revival. I think it's because we're walking in a deeper level of humility. And church, I want to encourage you, can we walk in a deeper level of humility? Listen, humility, the Bible says it this, that God resists the proud, right? But he gives grace to the humble. Now, we all would agree that grace is God's favor, right? Isn't God's grace God's favor? It's his unmerited divine assistance. That's what that word means. But it also is his enabling power. And what I think sometimes we don't recognize is that God wants to pour out his grace. He wants to enable us to accomplish great things for him. And the only way we can do it is we need to walk in his grace. And the only way grace can come is that we walk in humility before the Lord. Would you turn to someone and say, walk in humility? That was a very low rumble. See, humility is characterized by modest and respectful attitude towards oneself and others, coupled with a deep sense of reliance on God. It's the foundational quality for healthy relationships, personal growth, and spiritual maturity. Revival starts with God's people acknowledging their need for him. Revival starts, a surrendered life leads to a revived life. Come on, do you want revival? I just want to encourage you. Like, this is how I think we can foster it in our heart. And then he says the second thing is prayer and fasting. Now, I work on this premise. Fasting is good, but eating is better. But I can tell you, in my own personal life, this year, all my life, I've had a prayer and fasting lifestyle. Like, I've done a number of 40-day fasts, 21-day fasts, 28-day fasts. There was a 5-year period where I literally fasted the first week of every month plus every Wednesday for 5 years. So I've had a prayer and fasting lifestyle in my life. But when I had my heart attack in 2019, that kind of evaded me. Prayer not, I pray, but fasting not so much. And then, you know, put on the fact that I travel all the time. And so, you know, people always feed me. And like in different cultures, like I was just in Brazil, they have steak every day. Like every day, every meal, there is steak at it. And I'm a carnivore. So like every meal almost, lunch and dinner is steak. If they had breakfast, I'm sure there'd be steak at it. And so like in Asia, when I go to Asia, if my plate is empty, they keep filling it. Even though I say, no, I'm full. It's okay, you can have a little bit more. And so during my, these couple of years, number of years, I stopped fasting. And as I began this year, the Lord began to challenge me and say, Gary, I want to do something fresh in your life. One, I want to break limitations off your thinking. But two, I want to do something fresh in your life. But you're not allowing me to move in a way that I want to move in your life. And he basically said, like, you don't trust me. I was like, what? I trust you, Lord. He goes, no, you don't. He said, you're afraid. You're making excuses. You said you're on medication. So this was my excuse. I'm on medication. I might die if I fast. Or I travel all the time, making all these excuses. And the Lord kept saying to me, Gary, I want to do something fresh in your life. And so I went to Brazil in February. I was on vacation, so I wasn't going to fast on vacation. Hallelujah. But I went to Brazil, and as I was in Brazil, there's a guy in Brazil, his name is Luciano, and he travels, he's Brazilian, he travels all over the world, and every time we've come to Brazil, we've been like two ships passing. But on this particular night, we both came to the same place, and we're just sitting down. He was finishing his seventh 40-day fast. Now, nothing he said to me in that moment was not anything that I didn't know already. I knew about fasting. I've read it. I've gone to fasting doctors. I've talked to people. But it was one of those moments where God said, hey, Gary, are you going to let me do something fresh in your life? So I purposed to come home, and I started a 40-day fast. And I fasted for 40 days. Now, I had a little bit of salad, which really isn't anything of any substance. I had a little salad every night just to kind of settle my stomach. But for 40 days, I fasted. And then later on in the year, I fasted again for 21 days. And what I've noticed, to be honest with you, is that there are things that have been broken off in my life. And we've gone from 400 salvations this year to 700 salvations. Maybe there's a reason for that. We've seen healings this year that we haven't seen in the beginning. We've seen miraculous salvations. I was preaching one time. I was ready to preach, and I turned to the pastor and I said, Pastor, I feel we need, right now in worship, we need to give an altar call. He said, okay, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I got up there. I just shared the gospel for a couple minutes. And then I said, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, come. And right from the back, now this is a large auditorium, 2,000 people. Right at the back, this young man comes running, literally running to the altar, and falls and starts weeping, just crying his eyes out. And then I lost count at 40 people that came forward. There's at least 50, 60 people that came forward, but I just stopped counting at 40. So at the end of the service, you know, I preach. At the end of the service, we have another altar call. People come. And at the end of the service, the pastor comes to me and he says, hey, I got to tell you this story. You remember that young man that ran to the altars? I said, yeah. He goes, I got to tell you this. He told one of our pastors, so you got to hear this. He was on a bus. He got off the bus and was walking by our building. He said he thought it was a rock concert. He said he felt prompted to go in. And it's a paid event. It was a conference. It was a paid event. And you had to have a bracelet to be in the event. And he met somebody at the front door. And the person said, oh, it's a paid event. He says, can I pay? She goes, no. She said, hang on a minute. And she got a bracelet. And she put it on his wrist. And he said, at that moment, he started crying. He said, I felt like I was home. He said, I walk into the building and I'm hearing this amazing music. And he's thinking, this is not a rock concert, but something is touching me. And he said, and then that guy got up and he talked about Jesus. And he said, I ran to the altar. He said, listen, I many, 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 many years ago, I was a Christian and I was in ministry. He said, but I fell away from the Lord and I got into an alternative lifestyle. And he said, I've lived that lifestyle, but tonight I've given it all. I've surrendered my life back to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's a miraculous salvation. Church, we've got to walk in humility. We've got to walk in prayer and fasting. Like, do you want revival? How many want revival? Come on. Come on, every hand should go up. Some hands just never go up. I get that. But listen, like, can I see every hand go up? Okay, like every hand. Listen, God wants to bring revival to your life, to your family, to your kids, to your neighborhood, to your village. Come on, God wants to. He wants to do it in your workplace. Come on, do you believe this? Like, we've got to pray and fast. Like, earnestly seek God through prayer and fasting. Listen to what the Bible says. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. I know this is not a great Christmas message, but listen, revival starts with prayer. And I'm here to tell you, God wants to bring revival. This Christmas season, God wants to bring revival. Can you believe, listen, could you believe that this Christmas season, there would be 50 to 100 new people come in this season that would get saved? Like, I'm not just randomly picking a number out. I'm saying, can you believe that? Can you believe that there's a hunger in your community for change, that God wants to do something? I'm telling you right now, everywhere I go, church, God is moving. He's moving. Here's another one. Confession and repentance. Confession and repenting. Acknowledging our sins and turning back to God in repentance. Listen to what James says. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayer, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If my people will humble themselves, like repentance, again, I'm just saying, like, change your thinking. Like, God's had to change my thinking this year. Lord, help me to change my thinking. Lord, just help me to think like you think, God. Repentance isn't some, like, drastic thing. It's just letting God touch your thoughts. Now, it may be drastic because you might need some big thoughts to change, but it's a simple thing. Would you do me a favor? Would you all stand to your feet just for a moment? You know, let me read you one scripture, and then we're going to pray. This is a simple message. It wasn't what I was originally going to share, but I just feel to share it to you because I felt like this morning the Lord say to me, I am bringing a fresh anointing on this group. Now, this is what happened, okay? I'm going to read this to you. Because as God was speaking this to me, Pastor Don sent me this message. He said, there must be something about a fresh anointing today. I just received this from Bob Isabel. Good morning, my wonderful friend. I just wanted to let you know that we are so close to a visitation of Jesus. A visitation that you have longed for and that you have been wanting for and praying for. There is a God-given excitement in the United States right now. I'm sure you feel it too. We're going to have a God-given reprieve. A time to turn to the Lord. A time for a nation to repent. It will be a great time for you and the church to succeed and to prosper. He's so close now. That's Jesus knocking at the door. I'm covering you today, and I'm blessing you with a fresh anointing. I love and honor and respect you, my friend. I'm lifting you up before the Lord today. Come on, do you believe a fresh anointing? Listen to this scripture. Psalm 85, verse 6 and 9 says, won't you revive us again? Jesus, won't you revive us again? Watch. So your people can rejoice. Spiritual worship. Come on. So your people can rejoice. Show us your unfailing love, O God. Grant us your salvation. These are all the components of revival. Look, worshiping people. Unfailing love of God. We walk in his love. Grant us your salvation. Salvation. Do you have family members that need saved? Come on, do you have co-workers that need saved? Come on, can you believe this morning that God can touch the nation? Touch your place of employment? Would you lift your hands? Come on, let's just pray into that. Watch, she says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying. God wants to open our ears in this time of revival. For he speaks peace to his faithful people. There's so much chaos going in the world. God wants to breathe peace. And you and I have this awesome privilege. We have the shoes of the gospel of peace. We can walk in peace. He says, but let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. So our land will be filled with his glory. Let me read you this quote. We'll finish with this. David Wilkerson said, the glory of God is given to all who seek him with all their hearts. the glory of God is a revelation of the nature and the attributes of God Himself. It's a revelation of His nature as defined by God Himself. The purpose of God revealing His glory to us in this day and age is that His glory may change us into His very image. His nature is love. It's who He is. Lift your hands to the Lord, if you would, just for a moment. Lord, I pray today. Lord, it's a simple message. It's a challenging message. God, You call us back to humility. You call us back to prayer and fasting. You call us back to repentance. Lord, we ask, Father, even in this season, Lord, even in these days, every day that we would take this posture in our spirit, Lord, we want revival. Lord, come do it again in me. Do it again in us, Lord. Lord, every person, we cry out, God, bring revival. Would you just ask God to bring revival to your heart? Come on, say, Jesus, bring revival. Revive me, O Lord, again. Come on, revive me, O Lord, again. Lord, I pray that there would be a heartfelt worship arising in this place. God, I just thank You. I thank You, Father. Just bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. We always do this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've been coming to church, and you'd say, I don't know Jesus, and I want this revival to happen in me. I want God to touch me. You have to come to this place where we repent before God. We ask God to change our thinking. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you'd say, Gary, I need Jesus, I want you to just put up your hand if you would. Just maybe in the balcony or just put up your hand if there's anybody here today. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Don't be afraid. All over the world, people are giving their hearts to Jesus. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm going to ask you in a moment to get out of your seat and come to the front because I want to pray with you. If you put your hand up, just come on right now. Just be bold. Come out of your seat. Come to the front. I want to pray for you. I want to believe God to touch your life. Don't be afraid. Just stand and come on out right now. You come right now. I want to pray for you. If you lifted your hand, come on, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Saw a few other people lift their hands. If you want to come, please don't be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. Well, brother, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. What's your name? I'm just going to pray a prayer. I'd like you to invite, pray with me. And church, if you would pray with me too, we're going to pray and just ask Jesus to come into our hearts again. And it's a simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You this morning. I open my heart to You. I ask that You would forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and change me. Lord Jesus, I choose to serve You with all my heart. Revive me. Renew me. Make me alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give Him a hand, amen?
Amen. These guys are going to pray with you, okay? God bless you.
Okay, that's all right. It's okay. He said he felt like he needed to do it again. That's okay. Listen, sometimes you just got to renew. I was in a church last weekend in Winkler, Manitoba. It's a town of 14,500 people. And that pastor, when I went there 10 years ago, had less than 300 people. And today, he's got a church of over 2,000 people. And in a little town of 14,000 people. And it's because he's going after what he would call the prodigals. People who don't know Jesus or have walked away from Jesus. And hundreds of people. Last weekend, 26 people gave their heart to Christ. So church, I'm here to tell you, God is moving. Now how many would like, you would just say with me, hey, we need revival. Come on, just lift your hands up. Come on, just would you pray in your heart? Just say, God, would You revive me, Lord? I wanna have that worship grace on my life. I want you to touch my life, my family, bring revival, put a fresh hunger in my heart. God, I pray for every person today with raised hands. Lord, we speak over them that you want to bring revival to their heart. Lord, we just pray, revive us again. Revive us again, Lord. Revive, Lord, every individual, every family. Lord, those wayward sons and daughters, husbands and spouses, wives and aunts and uncles, Father, in the name of Jesus, we say, bring revival. Lord, renewal. Bring them into your love. Father, I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty way. Lord, we would see salvation after salvation this year. Lord, as we end this year, Lord, we pray for revival to take place. Lord, as we come into 2025, let revival come. Lord, let the power of your presence and your spirit come. Come on, and everybody said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.